For this class today, we have Santa Claus sitting next to me very peacefully. And many of you may wonder what that's doing here. But actually, the word Santa, you know, it's not a Latin word. It actually comes from the Indo-Aryan roots, meaning peaceful. And, you know, this is actually what Santa means. It means something which is peace. Some of you may know the Sanskrit form, Shanti. So this is Shanti Claus. In other words, peaceful Claus. And it's very peaceful, just sitting there, doing hardly anything. And that's actually how we meditate as well. To learn how to just to be still and learn how to be peaceful. And once you understand that this meditation is about being still, it's very clear that all the effort, all the doing, all the controlling, all the working, all the aiming, all of the goals you set in meditation will actually be counterproductive and will make you work even more. Even the biggest problem when people start thinking, and they try and stop their thinking. And how on earth can you stop your thinking as an act of will? It is actually the act of will which starts the thinking in the first place and keeps it going. So really, if you are bothered with thinking, just let it be. Letting it be is another word for actually just observing and doing nothing. Not controlling, not being a policeman of your meditation, but just being a casual observer. In fact, being something more than as a casual observer, someone who's celebrating just being in this moment. So it's not just observing with equanimity, it's putting a bit more joy and value into just what you're doing. And by putting that joy and value in what you're doing, just the same as you celebrate Christmas, you enjoy it whether you're a Buddhist, a Muslim or whatever. It's a nice time for people to take a day off work and just, actually many days off work, and just to have a bit of a rest and enjoy oneself in the same way that meditation is a way of taking 40 minutes off the busyness of our lives and just enjoying ourselves in the moment and celebrating peace. If we celebrate peace, you'll find that peace stays. If you take it for granted, even though you know it's worthwhile, but you take it for granted, it will disappear. It's one of the reasons why the monks disappear for 3 months at the monastery every year. If we came and taught every afternoon and every Friday, I don't think we'd be valued. But when we disappear for a while, yeah, that's a great way of being valued. So sometimes we take these things for granted, even peace for granted. The ability to be able to sit in a quiet place with nowhere to go and nothing to do for 40 minutes is a wonderful achievement. So value this moment. Don't just observe peacefully. Observe valuing. And that's all we really need to do. We don't go around trying to chase away our thoughts. If we try and chase them away and say, stop, stop thinking, we just actually add to the momentum of thinking. Here we observe, we let things be. Sometimes people want to have a little bit more instructions on how to stop thinking. So I developed a little simile which is every one of you will be able to understand. It's a simile of, actually I'm not quite sure, well looking around many of you are old, so you maybe understand. It's the old cinemas you used to go to. Of course people just get movies on the internet now so they don't need to go to cinemas, they watch it on the computer or TV. But in the days you would go to the cinema to watch a movie, you'd be sitting in your nice upholstered chair and you'd be watching this movie play on the screen. And after a couple of minutes, you really get involved in that movie, sucked in as if you were acting on that screen. I used to remember people doing this when I was young and watched movies. I'm sure they do this these days. Somebody creeps up behind the hero, and somebody in the audience in the movie theatre shouts out, "Look out, behind you!" Remember that happening? I do. Well, they can't hear you. It's a movie. You know, that's been shot many months or years ago. But nevertheless, you can see what that signifies is somebody really gets sucked into the movie and as if they are right there. And when the lovers meet, oh, they start crying. You ever gone there with the girls? I remember going with the girlfriends when I was young. And just they would cry. What are you crying for? It's only a movie. Oh, shut up. You're not romantic enough. Or they get scared when it's a very frightening movie. But if you always remember you're just sitting in the chair and you're just watching this on a screen, you'll find you don't get attached. You don't get caught up. You don't get sucked in. You have some degree of detachment. And that is a wonderful way of dealing with thinking in the mind. Just put it out there as if it was on a screen, on a movie, which you are watching or hearing. And you are sitting in another place, deep inside of yourself, just like sitting in the upholstered chair of the movie theater. And as soon as you get that distance between you and what you're thinking about, or what you're feeling, you get that distance, that separation, that detachment, you'll find that you don't get caught up in the thoughts. Somebody may bang the door in the middle of the meditation. If you can have that little separation, you find it's just a noise, that's all it is. It's not anything which disturbs you. If there's somebody who, well, actually maybe you, coughs or something, if you get sucked into it like you get sucked into movies, you really get upset. But if you can get that little separation, that distance between you, the observer, and the observed, you'll find that the thoughts are just that, they're just thoughts. They don't suck you in. They lose the source of their energy, and they just fade away. There's nothing of interest to keep them going. So just that little metaphor, that just way of looking at what you're experiencing, putting a space between you and the thoughts and the emotions, whatever it is, you'll find that's called detachment, and you'll find all those things will just fade away. It's also the same as I keep telling every Saturday afternoon when I'm here. Let go of the past and the future. Why is it so hard to let go of this past? Why is it so hard not to worry about the future? Again, just like the movie, we get sucked into it, and our future becomes more real than our present moment. All our plans and dreams and stuff, that becomes our reality. Just like getting sucked into the movie or in the TV production. I remember some years ago, I was reading, it's amazing what people do. It's lovely being a monk because you're outside of this, you don't watch TV or movies. But I remember reading, there was some film, and I think it was one of those soap operas in England or something, Coronation Street or something, and there was some very, very bad thing happened in that series. Somebody got put in jail for something they didn't do, and people actually wrote to their parliamentarians and complained. They could not tell the difference between a soap opera and reality. Their minds have got so sucked into this. And it's the same with your thoughts, all those emotions. You get sucked in and take that to be real. Stand back and keep silence as reality. The present moment, now, that's real. All this other stuff, the thoughts, the ideas, the perceptions and projections which you put onto reality, that's not real. That's just your interpretation. All the words. I often just do as an example, picking up something. I'll pick up this today. What is this I'm holding up? I know it's very hard on a Saturday afternoon to get you to say anything, so I'm going to say it for you. Some people say, it's a glass. It's got water in. It's about 6 inches high. It's no wider at the top than the bottom. It's transparent. It's got reflections from the lights. Yeah. That's just names. And a lot of times that's the world we live in. Names and descriptions. Sometimes you say, what is this, a glass? And you think you know it. It's a glass. I've captured it. And you don't look any further. So, this is not a glass. It's much more than that. Which is why you keep looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. The longer you look, the more you see. That shows you just how in this world of thoughts and perceptions, we think it's real. But reality is much deeper, much wider, much more beautiful than just these words of name. So what we're doing, when we separate ourselves from the screen of the movie theater, this is not just a glass, it's not just got water in it, it's much more than that. It's my meditation, visual aid, and more than that. But when we do that, we find we don't get caught up in our thoughts. We separate ourselves. But not the past, not the future. That's just more words and thoughts. We separate ourselves, and here we're sitting in this moment, in a reality space, and all this other stuff, because we see it for what it is, loses its importance and fades away. Any psychologist knows whatever you remember about the past probably didn't happen. It's just an imagination, a perception. You argue about who did what yesterday, and you're both absolutely certain you're correct. Every psychologist knows that we create the past. There's a kernel of truth in it, but we add so much that our memories cannot be trusted. And as for the future, what you think is going to happen never does happen. It's always something else, usually something worse. No, it's actually sometimes something better. But it's never what I expect. So I know that all of that is just projection, it's fantasies. And it's also, it just gives you such a burden to worry about. So when you sit in your seat, and all this past and the future is just so much stuff on the screen of the movie theater, all these thoughts, it's just so much commentary coming out of the speakers. When you separate yourself, you no longer do you give it any energy. And it starts to go quieter and quieter as you come back to what's really valuable, just this present moment. Silently, just being, letting it be. It's a great word, to let it be. You're not letting being happen. You're always going somewhere. You're letting the future, letting the thoughts, letting the past be. But what really is important, just being right here, right now, where there can be some peace, some freedom, some wisdom, some truth, that we always reject. So please, be here. When I first meditate, I usually come, you know, to the most powerful feelings in my mind, which when I close my eyes is my body. I don't know if it's the same with you. Maybe I'm getting old. There's always some ache, some heat, some cold, some pressure somewhere. And as soon as I use that feeling to actually to focus myself in the present moment, because, you know, feelings of the body always happen now. Feelings in the body, they don't leave much residue. You know, feeling comes and then afterwards it's just gone. It's a new feeling, even if a painful feeling. They may continue, but this feeling right now is always new. It's always in the moment. It's one of the reasons I ask people if they have a lot of trouble stopping thinking, going out into nature, letting the rain fall on their face, getting soaking wet, feeling what it's like to be wet, taking your shoes and socks off and just walking on the grass or on the pavement, feeling what it's like. Because when you get into physical sensations, you feel alive. Listen to the sound of the birds. Feel the wind on your face. All of these things bring you into this moment. It's physical sensations. And if you can do that, you can stop thinking. So I do that when I start meditating. I feel the body. And sometimes it's not that pleasant, but it's not that unpleasant. It's just bodily feeling. And it focuses me in this moment. And if it is a little bit unpleasant, it's very easy to deal with. As I keep saying again every Saturday afternoon, I give it kindness. You know what it's like when you give kindness to things? They change. I call it the Prince kissing the frog. Once upon a time, there was a handsome prince who was very wealthy. It's Christmas, okay. So time for a fairy story. There was a handsome prince who was walking down the road somewhere, and he saw this very ugly frog with warts on her. And the little frog called out, "Hey, I'm not really a frog. I'm this drop-dead gorgeous hot princess who's had a spell put on her by some wicked witch. Just give me a kiss and I'll do whatever you want." And the prince kisses the ugly frog. And of course the ugly frog turns into this beautiful, wonderful princess, and they all live happily ever after. Now what is the meaning of that story? Your ugly frog of a body with warts on it and everything else. Ugh, yuck. Who would want to kiss that? But you kiss it. In other words, you embrace it with loving kindness, with compassion. And, you know, this is actually where that story comes from, I reckon. Because if you give compassion to a painful, hot, tired, aching, old, ugly, watery body, give it loving kindness, it turns into a beautiful prince or princess. That's what my body does. You ache in the knee. Mindfulness and compassion, it's all right. And then the pain disappears. Everything starts to relax. It becomes free. It becomes just this beautiful body, able to do whatever I want. That's what happens with compassion. So I start with the body just to focus myself in the present moment and to stop any thoughts I have of seeing the builder afterwards or whatever. Stop all of that. Feel the body. Come into the present moment. Give it compassion. And everything starts to relax. You're in the present moment. You're sort of a comfortable body. And you've also started the mindfulness and compassion, which is so important. Your body's relaxed. Then you do the same thing to your mind. All the pain of the mind, which is worries about the past, anxiety is about the future, all that stuff which has happened to you, all that tightness and heaviness inside your mind, give it a kiss. You're all right, mind. It's okay. And then it turns into this beautiful, holy mind. A mind of peace, of kindness. That's actually how you stop the thinking. And that is how you develop deep meditation. So whatever problem you have in your meditation today, regard that as the ugly prince, or the ugly frog, sorry. Embrace it with kindness and see if you can take away the spell and to turn the ugly, the angry, the guilt-ridden, the anxious, the rotten old mind into the most beautiful mind you would ever imagine. Agra, cadabra, pizzazz, whatever it is. Anyway, so there we go. I don't know any spells these days. I should watch more Harry Potter movies and I'll be able to find out what the spell is. So, there we are. That's the meditation instructions today. So, if you'd like to get yourselves nice and comfortable, if you're not already, Santa Claus nodding. His posture's not that good. Come on, straighten your back. That's much better. Very good. Okay, close your eyes. And as I said, with your eyes closed, see if you can become aware of your body. What is the most prominent feeling right now in your body? If it's something which you can ameliorate by moving something, then move. Adjust the legs, adjust the bottom, scratch yourself. Sometimes I make this joke, I repeat it every 3 months because sometimes people have got bad memories. that because in this type of meditation, we close our eyes when we do this meditation. So anyone who wants to pick their nose or put their finger in their ear, please feel free to do so. No one is watching you. Don't open your eyes. So be kind to yourself. As you're aware of your body, when one feeling starts to fade away, as you relax, other feelings will come up. See if you can relax those too. And if you've got your chronic aches and pains, headaches, gut aches, knee aches, whatever those aches are, regard them as an ugly frog. See if you can really embrace it with kindness, kissing the warty frog. At the very least, imagine you're sitting in a movie theater or at home on your sofa watching a movie on TV, and all these feelings in the body, the aches, the pains, the tiredness, whatever it is, separate yourself from them as if you, the observer, are sitting in a chair, and all these feelings, sensations, are being played out on a screen a few feet in front of you. These feelings aren't you. They're just pain, they're heat, they're aches, but they're not you. You are separate. They're on the screen, like you watching a movie. The reality is where you're sitting. Don't get sucked in to the play of the movie. the body is nice and relaxed. Then you relax the mental world. Same process. Any thoughts, memories of the past, plans, anxieties for the future. Put space between you, the observer, and those things. Don't make them real. Don't get sucked into them. You get sucked into the past, sucked into fantasies, sucked into the future. You'll never find peace. You're this observer, sitting peacefully, separated from all of that, and seated in the present. Let all the past and future go. Let this moment be. Value being rather than controlling. It's getting close to the end of the meditation now. So how do you feel? Are you able to detach from the screen and gain some peace? Or did you get sucked in again? With practice, with training, becomes a very effective way of letting go of the past and the future and thinking, gaining a state of peace, and allowing that stillness to develop into strong mindfulness, happiness, and the stages of stillness. I will now ring the gong 3 times. Please listen to every sound from the gong. When the last ringing vanishes, then come out from your meditation. So we have reinstituted the question box. So if anyone has any questions about meditation, please, not about the government, not about marriage, not about kids, about meditation, then we can have these questions answered on a Saturday afternoon. And this one takes precedence because this is from somebody here. Vanachan Brahm, I have done Metta Bhavana some time back. I got a bright light in the form of the landscape, but I never got a source light. I learned meditation from a monk from my country, and when I came to Australia and started doing Anapanasati, then I got the light as well as a bright source. Once the source got bright, when it starts to pour over me like a waterfall, this happens once last year, but it never came back. When I meditate at home, none of these lights comes. Even though the light comes, I never get piti or sukha. Sometimes I feel there's no drive for the meditation because of the problems I'm having. Please give me, advise me. Okay, these are nimitta questions, and I know all about these ones. The first, this is what happens when you start to become still. When you start to become still, many things disappear, such as the awareness of the body, sounds, feelings in the body, they mostly disappear. If they haven't totally vanished from your perception, they're like, you know, thousands of miles away. So you can hear a sound, but it's just a long distance away, and it does not affect you at all. So you're very deep within, and what you're experiencing is your mind, the sixth sense. This is classic Buddhist meditation. I don't make this up, this is actually from the time of the Buddha. The Buddha taught like this. So when you first get to access to the mind, the five senses of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, vanishing, when you first get to access the mind, if the mind is a little bit complicated, you'll see landscapes, what I call complicated lights, or nimittas is a word. And so, yeah, it can be landscapes, they're usually pretty, beautiful. But if you wish to take it further, to get just a very simple light, the simpler, the better, what you can do is that in that scenery, that landscape, whatever, there'll always be one part which is more beautiful than the rest. You focus on the more beautiful. In other words, you tend to go into a beautiful part of that landscape. If there is running water, you can just see a twinkle on that running water. Or there may be a dewdrop on a leaf. Anything which sparkles is the best. You just go to that sparkle, and that turns into a beautiful single light of the nimittas, which will take you deep into meditation. And just me saying that is enough for you to actually do that. It's amazing just how these instructions, which you hear and maybe you think you forget, which apply to the very deep meditations, they're the ones the mind remembers and it comes to your aid when it's needed. And when it does come to, just when you're doing loving-kindness meditation, you didn't take it deep enough. It doesn't matter loving-kindness meditation or the breath meditation, they all work. But when you said you came to Australia doing some breath meditation, you got the light as well as a bright source there, so you got deeper. And once the source got bright and it starts to pour over me like a waterfall, these are very good, this is what's supposed to happen. The light gets so strong you start to get absorbed into that light, and that's just the way you perceive it. I'm surprised you say you didn't get any of this joy, what we call the piti sukha, because that usually happens, especially at that brilliant stage where you're just being immersed into that light. That usually is a lot of joy, happiness. I was mentioning recently that many people interpret that as just pure love. That's fascinating, just the way that we understand or perceive these things. Pure love, ecstasy, bliss, they just all come together as a one experience. It's just the way we tend to try and embrace that with concepts, with words. But anyway, it's this beautiful feeling of just being at one with everything, lots of love, lots of happiness. It's a brilliant experience. And if the happiness hasn't come yet, which is one of the problems I find with Westerners when they get to meditation depth like this, it is as if that somehow it's been brainwashed into us that religion can't be happy and it cannot be fun. I still remember going to church in London when I was a kid, and it was stone, it was cold, the pews had no upholstery on it, it was just hard wood, and the sermon would just make your skin creep. The whole thing was just, you know, just no fun or joy in it at all. The priest never told a joke, never ever. So there's no happiness and fun in it. And sometimes we get that relationship, that perception that religion can't be fun. And if we're enjoying it, we must be doing something wrong. And that is actually a deep psychological block for people when they meditate. Happiness comes up, and they don't allow it to come up. They don't encourage it. So this is one of the reasons why teaching meditation, say on retreats, I encourage people to have delight in what they're doing. Even at the very early stage in meditation, that when you are just, your body's relaxed, it feels really comfortable. Notice the delight in having a comfortable body. It just feels so good. It's that cozy feeling, as I keep mentioning, when you first wake up in the morning, you don't need to go anywhere, you're just in the bed having a good time. That cozy feeling. Develop the delight early as possible. And when it's peaceful, just notice it's a delightful thing to have a peaceful mind, to be free. And when you develop the perception of delight in these things, you don't take it for granted. You actually see this is beautiful, this is lovely. Then when you get to things like watching the breath, it's so easy to watch, it's just so delightful. Breath going in, going out. You're actually encouraging this joy. And then you will find when the light comes, because you're looking for the joy, you will have heaps of joy. And it's important that happens, because when you get lots of joy like that, not only do you want to meditate again and again, but it also keeps your attention sort of glued to the object. It's just too much fun. But the thing is that now it never comes back again. Yes, that's the most common problem. Simply because you want it or you expect it. It's a wanting and expecting is a big block, which is why many, many people have these experiences once and they love it so much they can't get it back again. Why? Because they want it. And all wanting will stop you being peaceful. All expectation. It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I was here before and this is what happened next. That blows the whole thing. So your job is to be still as you possibly can, which means no wanting, no expectations, just totally passive, still, relaxed, open, just being. It comes, it doesn't come, all the same. Then it comes. That's how these things happen. Thank you. Standard question, standard answer. This is what happens. But good, you have some experiences. And this is what you can expect if you really get into this meditation a lot. What I keep on calling the bliss better than sexual orgasm. And I mean that. That is no exaggeration. In fact, I know that one person who, they criticized me for saying that. He said, look, you shouldn't put those two things in the same breath. The bliss in meditation is way, way in a different league. Way higher, more beautiful, more pleasurable than sexual orgasm. I said, yeah, but people can't understand that. It's still a very good marketing slogan. Anyway, question one from Thailand. How to get myself to sit on the cushion? I always seem to have an excuse not to go there. Thank you. In other words, not to meditate. Please, when you have your jobs you have to do in the day, please get meditation out of the way first. Put that number one in your list. Prioritize it. We always try and get everything else out of the way, and then I'll meditate. No, get meditation out of the way first, and then you can do all those other stuff. And you will find that then you'll do all that other stuff with greater efficiency and with wasting less time. It's all about efficiently using your time. Meditation, that's why it's very common in every part of our culture these days, simply because it makes you more productive. So it's just a matter of reprogramming your priorities and making sure that all that other stuff, goodness, I have lots of stuff to do as well. I'm probably busier than any one of you here, the amount of stuff I have to do, but still, you always find time to meditate. Why? Because you love meditating. Ajahn Chah used to say, well, you know, this is from Thailand, how do you get yourself to eat? I mean, it's amazing how busy people are. They don't have any time to eat these days. Of course you always have time to eat because you love eating, you like eating. And, you know, it's important for you. So if you can have that same attitude to meditation, yeah, I love meditating. It's even more fun than eating. And it's certainly, if you don't eat, you get very sick. If you don't meditate, you get sick in the head. Next question two from Indonesia. How to bring myself to focus on the present moment? I have a hard time doing this. Don't do it. If you try to focus on the present moment, you'd always get stressed out. It's always trying to do something. The present moment is then some goal in the future you're trying to aim. Stop doing things. Stop trying. Stop having all these goals and striving and wanting. When all of that disappears, all that's left is the present moment. So this is what happens when you stop doing other things. Stop doing other things, and as I mentioned today, it's so easy to be in the present moment, starting just with just noticing the feelings, listening to the sounds. It brings you home. And then later on, you can actually start to separate. All those things over the dog barking, it's way away. All the noise, all the past and the future, it's just so way away. It's nothing to do with me. You value the present moment more than anything else, then it's easy to stay there. So I give lots and lots and lots of talks on that, so I'm sure you can get more information from the internet there. And lastly, from the United States, I can't seem to get past the physical pain from recent surgery. Trying love and kindness, it doesn't lessen. Any other ideas? I said I'm trying to stop the pain and not let it be. Perhaps this is part of the problem. Well done. Indeed. Don't try to get rid of the pain. Just accept the pain. Be content with the pain. Be the pain. Rather than think it's something else and you're trying to try and sort of overcome it. And many people also make the mistake, say, oh, now I know how to get rid of the pain. Stop trying to get rid of it. It's just another method of getting rid of the pain. You're missing the point. That's why that story I had, which I wrote about in one of the first books about toothache in Thailand, really driving me crazy. I tried everything I possibly could to get rid of it. You know, it's really bad. Couldn't sleep. No way you could sleep. Couldn't even sit still for 5 seconds. It was just driving you crazy. The whole mouth. It was just jungles in Thailand. No telephone for 20 miles. No sort of dentist for about 60 miles. I don't know. It's just a long way away from anywhere. No sort of medicine in this jungle. And there you go, just dying from toothache. Isn't it? People say it's only toothache, but that was really sort of painful. And I was just reminded just when one of ex-vice presidents, you know, he died, and that was Ben Kiat Chan, He died last year, early this year. And when I went to his funeral service and we did a little put his ashes up in the monastery, his son reminded me that he was a dentist over at North Perth his first year there. And I was, you know, that's where you can go for free dental care when we were staying over there. So he gave me a root canal, you know, without anaesthetic. He said, these monks are really tough. You know, they sort of didn't take, drill through their roots so they just don't move when stuff like that. And so I am pretty tough when it comes to enduring pain, but that toothache was just more than I could endure. And in the end, I just remembered all those teachings which I was given. Let it be. Stop fighting. Let go of all this trying to get rid of it. And so I let it be. I mean, you really do it. Not sort of 99%, 100%. It's an amazing experience. I always remember that. The pain vanished. Poof. Like sort of Harry Potter again with his wand or something. Poof, it all goes immediately and replaced with just bliss and peace. It's amazing just how easy it was. If you know where that button is. So I've been telling that story for many years. So people try that. They've got pain. Let it be, let it be. It doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work because you're not letting it be. You're trying to get rid of the pain. You've got to really allow it to be 100%. Pain, you can be here for the rest of my life. You'd even get worse if you want to. I will let you be. And then there's a good chance it will disappear. But if you any residue, tiny bit of wanting to get rid of it, it won't go. So don't try and stop the pain. Let it be. If you want to have any encouragement, you know it will pass. This too will pass. Pain of surgery, it gets better every day. So you don't have to endure for that much longer. And as Ajahn Chah used to tell me, the one time I was really sick in hospital, he said, don't worry about the pain. You'll either get better or you'll die, but the pain won't stay the same. That's really lovely. That seems to be gross, but it's so true. So, Ellen in America, don't worry. Don't try and get past it. Just go right into it, right into its center. Just be with it. Let go of the struggle. It's the struggle causes the main part of the pain. So those are the questions there from all the ways over Thailand, Indonesia, and the United States. So this is actually broadcast live all over the world. So this is why we get questions from all over the place. And actually, I just was over in the United States recently, and people actually, they listen to this. I think even in Sri Lanka, they've got Ajahn Brahm Society, which they log into this, and they just listen it, have a group over there which sit together and listen to this live. What is really nice about Perth is that, you know, we're in a sort of a very good time zone. We've got so many countries in the same time zone as us, or, you know, within 1 or 2 hours. So it's great being able to have this class here, and it's shared to many countries throughout the world. Da da da. So it's okay, they're not watching you, so you don't have to wear your best clothes or worry about if you fell asleep and lay down during the meditation. The camera wouldn't have been on you. You're safe. Any questions? Yeah.
Hi, John. Just going back to nimittas.
Yeah.
I was actually intending to ask this question. Every so often, not that often, but every so often I'll get a really, really, really bright small light.
Good.
And you say absorb into it, but aha. I'm not sure which, like what happens, I'll think about it, and if I try and say, let it come to me, it very quickly gets big and less bright and it washes over me. And if I try and go into it, it gets brighter and smaller and disappears. So the absorbing is something in the middle, obviously.
Yes,
I really can't kind of catch that
steadiness. Stop trying to catch it. Just be still. Nothing more. Your job is not to do anything, not to disturb the process, leave it alone.
Very difficult.
Yeah, again, this is difficult, but this is the test. You've gone so far. It's only a little bit further. You've been still a lot. You've let go so much that nimittas come up. This is that final test. Totally be still. In the moment, It's good enough. Content. Happy to be the nimitta. Many people here will give their right arm to have a nimitta like that. They still have all these years they've been coming here. All these people say about these lights, I haven't seen anything yet. So just be happy that you're where you are. And then just be still. And when it's ready, it will happen. You can't make it happen. You've got to be so patient, so still. When you're ready, totally still. Then it comes. And you realize so many years you'd made the same mistake. You realize you're still doing things. Remember the simile which I've given many times, to keep the cask of water perfectly still. You can't hold it still. You've got to put it down and let it go. So this is what you're doing. You've put it down. You've let it go. It's almost still. Come on, be more still. You've been touching it, moving it, so it doesn't actually reach its stillness. Keep your hand away. Don't do anything. And then it becomes perfectly still, all by itself. You've been touching it. Ah, it's moved again.